This is Rob Long with Martini Shot on KCRW. Just a few years ago, only movie studios and TV networks were in the business of making movies and TV. Now, of course, there is a galaxy of new entrants into the entertainment business. Satellite TV blankets the world from the sky, and internet-based streaming video fills our computer and mobile phone screens with pretty much any kind of entertainment we want. Netflix, which a few years ago trafficked in actual, touchable DVDs, now pumps hours of digital movies and original TV shows throughout the internet, making it responsible for almost 40% of all web traffic in North America. So if you're in the United States and your internet is slow, blame them. Amazon, which began its ascent as an online bookshop, has become the world's largest retailer, and for reasons known only to its diabolically brilliant founder, Jeff Bezos, it now also is in the entertainment business. Like Facebook, which is developing and producing TV series, and Twitter, which has announced its first ventures in online video programming, and AT&T, the mobile phone service company, is buying Time Warner, and it turns out that two of my favorite executives in the TV business are leaving Hollywood and heading to Cupertino, where they'll help Apple branch out from making computers and iPads and iPhones into making TV shows to watch on computers and iPads and iPhones. Now, when I started my career in Hollywood 27 years ago, but I shouldn't have said that, you could fit almost every important player in the TV business into the ballroom of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, which actually happened fairly regularly since people in Hollywood enjoy honoring themselves at awards banquets. We all knew each other, and if we discovered that we didn't know each other, we cheerfully lied about it and pretended that we did. It was a small, clubby group of folks. In other words, not so much a competitive business environment as a benign oligarchy. And if you're on the right side of the ledger, oligarchies can be lots of fun. But in 2017, you can't even fit those people into one large hotel, even if you could somehow gather them in one place from such remote and exotic locations as London and New York and Los Angeles and Cupertino and Beijing and Dubai. It all seems new and radical, but from where I sit, it's all more or less the same. You try to think up stuff that people might like or think is funny or interesting, and then you try to put that stuff on a screen somewhere. And this is the crucial part, you try to get someone to pay for the stuff, which is where this all gets really interesting, because from pretty much the beginning of the entertainment business, the trick was to find someone, anyone with money, and convince them to give a lot of it to you, and then convince them to keep giving it to you, even if you lost the first chunk, because you told them, this will all pay off later in reruns, or by building a library of titles, or whatever. And the only real competitive advantage any entertainment company has over any other entertainment company is who is most likely to run out of money first. So although it might not make much sense to rational outside observers, it's a good idea to be making movies and TV for a company that has some other businesses making money, like, say, iPhones in the case of Apple, or selling everything in the case of Amazon, or maybe you have everyone's credit card number and bill them monthly, like Netflix or AT&T, because it is a race in 2017 to see who is going to take the longest to go broke. And in that respect, the entertainment business isn't all that different from what it's always been, even if you now carry the screens around in your pocket. And that's it for this week. Next week, we will stay cool. For KCRW, this is Rob Long.